Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Can't get enough golf? Podcast One is the new home of Golflandia with Matthew Wiley. Every Monday, all season long, tune in to hear Matt talk predictions, tournament recaps, and interview guests from in and around the world of PGA and Euro golf. He'll even talk business, branding, and family life.
Because it all relates to golf.
Download episodes of Golflandia every Monday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
And it's Water Cooler, episode number 104. Oh, we're still in triple digits. We'll be here for a while. I think about it. Others might call it 69 plus 35, and whoever calls it that, I admire you. So, once again, my name's Chris Loxamana, and this is the other show of Resume, where I hang out with my Corolla Digital dudes. We check the chat, maybe drink some beers, and hang out. With me today, I have Kaelin Bean.
Yeah!
What's up, man? Whoa!
What's going on?
Jeez, everyone just thinks that there's a different guy here. No, that's old Kaelin. It's the same Kaelin.
Same guy.
He's slightly
Kaelin New Year.
Kaelin New Year. Every single time he comes in, just slightly pushes the bar. And I like it. I like it. So welcome welcome back, Kaelin. Yep.
Thank you.
Gary Smith's here.
What's up?
What's up? And he's holding the new Endless Rant Lager. And we're going to hear about that in a minute. Mike Dawson's here.
Monkey needs a hug.
Aww. And
Monkey loves you.
Kaelin knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know why.
You'll know soon enough.
He
doesn't watch it. He doesn't watch it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Black Mirror?
It's so fucking disturbing.
You're talking about Black Mirror, right?
So disturbing.
Black Mirror has become the new, I don't know what, but when Game of Thrones, The Wire, just like, are you watching blank?
Well,
it's been Black Mirror.
You know,
probably six people in the last 3 days.
It's not episodic. The last season, it's sandwiched between two awesome episodes. It's awesome, and then crap.
They're not all crap. There's a couple.
And then awesome.
So, but I know it's not episodic. It's not serialized. So I can start anywhere.
Yep.
But if you really want to watch the best ones first, you can go online, and usually people's rankings of episodes are pretty accurate.
Last season, the one with John Hamm.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best ever made.
John Hamm's in it?
Yeah. There's in one episode.
So, it's a mind fuck.
But yeah, you can go online and look at the list of best episodes and start from there. They're usually pretty accurate.
But the last episode of this season.
It's great.
I had to pause it after the monkey part. And just walk around my house for a little bit. It fucked my mind up.
Are there monkeys in it?
Better after that one either.
You'll
John
see.
Hamm,
you'll
monkeys?
See. I'm not gonna give anything away for you.
I'm in.
It's disturbing.
I'm out.
I think I'll need to watch it. Kaelin, I'll come over and watch it. I'm inviting myself over.
All right, yeah. Just make sure you're not texting anyone and actually pay attention.
All right, never mind, Kaelin. never mind. I don't want to come over because you judge me, and I can feel it.
Well, that was your fault for not paying attention to the Game of Thrones finale.
He's so mad about that.
There you go.
Also, Boo's here. Say hi, Boo. That's Dawson's black lab. Beautiful black lab. Been in the family.
She sees my face. I can make her howl. Where is she?
She's under, right by Kaelin.
Boo boo.
Nope, that's not working.
She's panting very heavily.
She did give Dawson a high five earlier, though. That was kind of cool.
All right. So I just got back from Colorado over the weekend. Nice weekend and cold.
You did?
Yeah. Fort Collins.
Nice.
FOCO. As they call it.
I like that.
And it was fun. Went to a wedding.
Buy any pot?
I didn't buy any pot. I did not.
And you're doing it wrong.
I think it lost its luster after
Denver.
Once it was legalized here.
Yeah, after we could do it. Yeah. It's like, I can do
but
it.
But we still can't really
still
do
can't.
It.
There's no
one
place
shop
to
in
yeah,
West
exactly.
Hollywood. I was like, what is going on?
No, well, I did not. Well, also because I didn't really have a lot of time. I flew in, got in late Friday night. Saturday was the wedding. Left Sunday morning.
So, who got married?
My friend Jenna. And yeah, it was a beautiful wedding. It was a lot of fun. She
nice.
She asked me to play guitar in her wedding, which I guess Kaelin saw me practicing. Asked me, "Oh, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm practicing for a wedding. I have to play." And he just looked at me and was like, "Oh, you've officially become that guy now. Like you're the guy that they'll call on."
Well, this is the kind of I don't know if it's the second, but this is not the first formal event
right.
that you had to play.
It's kind of cool,
yeah.
You know, being considered for that.
Yeah.
And in my head, I always worry about the pressure. Of not messing up because this is a date that will live in infamy in their minds, and well, I really don't mean to compare to to a bombing of
No, I know what you mean. I'm glad I'm not as talented because if somebody asked me to play their wedding, I wouldn't be able to get drunk at their wedding.
Half the time, it's so much more fun to just not say anything and watch Chris react to my facial expressions and dig himself deeper into the hole.
I can
see what you're saying as far as like that being exciting and being like a nice gesture, but at the same time, we thought about it for our wedding, but then we just decided, you know, that's maybe just let him enjoy the party.
Yeah.
You know, have a good time. I'm not hating on your friend who asked you. I'm just saying I could see pros and cons to both sides of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a double-edged sword.
No, I'm always happy to do it. You know, it's more of an honor for me.
Where did double-edged sword come from? I think a sword has two edges.
Where are those single-edged swords at?
I don't know, because, you know, the other side of a sword,
a knife.
Well, without like a shield, the other side of the sword would be like the blocking side.
Okay.
Versus the sharp side.
Okay.
So
you would use it as like a defensive side versus the offensive.
Oh my god! Can you imagine blocking with the sharp side? Fuck! Not again. Yeah, sword fights. A lot less exciting, I think. Yeah, double edge them.
So, what kind of?
It was first invented in the 15th century, so we've come a long way technologically.
Oh, okay. So they it took them how many years to sharpen the other side?
Sometime between now and 600 years ago.
Well, save that for episode 1473 nostalgia. All right,
there you go.
Yeah, we'll get there soon enough. So she asked me to play. She gave me a choice of two songs. She's texting me. She's really busy, so I don't want to keep asking her questions and stuff because I'm worried that she has a lot on her mind. She asked if I could play. Of course, I'm honored to do it. I'm very happy to do it. And she gives me two songs to learn. One is a Miley Cyrus song.
Oh.
Wow.
Look.
Hold on. Which one?
It's called...
Hold on now. Hold on a second.
I want to debate this question that Gary just asked. Does it matter?
Apparently.
You're burying the lead. Just let it play out.
Okay.
It's called I Would Die For You.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that song. I mean, you know, it might just have a specific meaning to, you know, them two. Maybe they met each other while that song's playing in a bar. I don't know. But... It's weirdly morose, like the message, I will die for you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about dying at a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, so. And then she gave me the other choice was a Mumford & Sons song called I Will Wait For You.
So they kind of go together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically.
So I'm going to wait till you
die. A lot of songs about her now husband doing shit for her.
Or it could be her telling the husband, you know. I would do this.
Well, yeah, I would die for you. It comes from a female perspective because Billy Ray Jr. sings that.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm happy to play either one. But she gave me a choice, and I picked Mumford & Sons.
Good.
And I felt weird picking, but
good call.
Just the way like that song's a little more, upbeat and happy. Yeah, exactly.
Less about
that. It's sweet. I'm not bagging on your friend Jenna's wedding.
I know. Just I actually choice. Really like that
music. Is so
and Sons
fucking
song.
Powerful. The weird. People latch on to songs for certain reasons, and that's one of the beautiful things about music.
Yeah, exactly. We have this weird reaction that we don't have a reaction with anything else in the world. So she asked me to play that. I learn it, and then I fly on Friday night. We're at a bar. I'm just hanging out. And she's there, you know, like, oh my god, you're getting married tomorrow. That's crazy. You told me I'm playing the ceremony. What'd you want me to do? I learned that Mumford & Sons song, which is kind of fast, by the way. It's like, it's really upbeat and fast. And I kind of slowed it down thinking, all right, well, I don't want to play that during the ceremony. I got to slow it down a little bit, maybe finger pick it. And she says, oh, you're going to be playing As I Walk Down the Aisle.
Whoa.
That's different.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
That's pressure.
Wait, so.
That's pressure.
So wait, am I following this timeline correctly? On the Friday afternoon before her wedding, when you're sitting at Burbank Airport, she doesn't know what song she's walking down the aisle to?
No, she does. I told her, I texted her, a week before. Okay, I picked Mumford & Sons. I learned it. Let's go with that one.
Okay.
But I don't, she just says I'm playing during the ceremony. I just assume like, you know, I'm playing as people are walking in, things like
that. Similar to this happened to you like not that long ago where it's like the same exact like thing?
I also, yeah.
Quick question. Are you singing as well or
yes.
just?
Wow. Oh, I'm singing.
Wow.
I learned the words. I learned the lyrics.
Pressure.
And it has like really broad lyrics. So they're not very memorable lyrics. So they're just so generic.
Acoustic?
Yeah. Just me to plug in.
Amplification?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So she tells me I'm playing that, and all of a sudden this weird wave of pressure just comes into me like, oh, my God. So they're playing recorded music for everything else. They cut it, and that's when I come in. with Mumford and Sons. I will wait for you. And then she proceeds to walk down the aisle. And then I remembered something.
I think you made the right choice, by the way.
I agree. And then I remembered something. I did this, as Caitlin said, a couple months ago at my other friend's wedding, where I did the same thing. I learned a Beatles song as she walked down the aisle. And I was so nervous to play it until my friend Kelsey, wedding photographer, who's actually Gary's wedding photographer, told me,
"What's up, Kelsey?"
Kelsey. Nobody will care if you mess up or what you play, because they don't even know you're there. Because as the beautiful bride is walking down the aisle, she won't even know. She won't even hear you. Like, everything just freezes from one end to the other.
Except for those hipsters from Oregon who tapped each other while she's walking up the aisle going, "He fucked up those lyrics."
So I'm trying to revamp this song now because I can't play it fast. I don't, you know, she's walking down the aisle. I got to kind of make it pretty, kind of mellow. I'm not gonna have her gallop.
Her doing a trot down the aisle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna have her gallop down the aisle.
The song's done. She's still 10 pews away.
Yeah. So I'm practicing, learning it, and now I know I don't have to play the whole song. So I'm just playing the first verse through the chorus, and I'll end it there. And it'll be pretty easy. I'm re-looking at the lyrics on my phone before she comes out, just to make sure like I got that down. And I get cued. "All right, Chris, it's your turn." And I've been practicing, man. I've been practicing. So I start finger picking the song. Oh, by the way, minutes before the ceremony, her uncle walks up to me and goes, "Oh, a lot of pressure, huh?
What's up?"
And I'm looking at him like, "Yeah, it's all right.
Thanks, dude.
I mean, you got a lot of weight around you, especially because you know, you're playing music 2 days after the last remaining guy at Motorhead died." You know, it's just like a weird,
That is a weird. That's a weird pull.
See, now I want to have a beer with this guy, because if he's doing it to fuck with
he's
you,
doing
I
it to
love
with
it.
Me. He's doing it to fuck with me. He has a weird smirk on his face.
All right,
he's
just I'm fine
he's,
with that.
He's
tell
messing
me.
With me. He's like, "Hope you memorize the lyrics. You got all the lyrics down? What fingers are you using?" Like,
tell me he was improvising the Motorhead thing, because that's a great addendum.
He was
too. I like
it. It was. Actually really enjoyed him talking to me. He. I could tell he's kind of maybe just trying to loosen my nerves up a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, getting in my head.
Future water cooler guest.
And he was there. He
that
hung out.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really funny. So the music plays, the procession goes, ring bearer, whatever. And then the music cuts, finger to me, "You're up." And so I start playing the song. And I'm thinking, all right, this has this is 8 bars of an intro. It's like I don't know, 15-second intro. And then I nod at her guy to cues her to walk in. So I play the intro, and then I give the nod. She walks in. She freaking speed walks. I get through the second line of the verse, and then she's at the end of the altar, and she gives me like the cut. Like, "Oh yeah, you're good, cut." And it's not even at a nice ending, so I just kind of have to cut. Like, in the middle of the second verse, everybody just kind of like, waiting for, you know, some sort of resolution, some sort of tonic. And did not happen. I had to cut it there. There's like a few snickers, just because it was so weird and abrupt that I ended it there. But she was anxious. She was nervous. She didn't know what happened. It happened so fast. I end it there. And then all my friends are laughing at me because I went... Okay. Dawson, have you ever traveled with an acoustic guitar in a plane?
No.
It's terrible.
I did check a guitar once when I toured the Midwest, but I've never tried to... never tried to bring it on the plane.
All right, so the way planes work is if it's a hard shell case, you have to check it. If it's a gig bag, you carry it on. And you ideally want to carry your guitar on because
of... You always run the risk of them saying, "There's no room, sorry,
right,
you got to check it."
That's
and then
true.
If you're in a soft case, you're fucked.
Yeah. So, because underneath in the cabin, the pressure is really bad for the wood. It gets really cold. It, you know, things just get thrown in, that's thrown around in there. They get thrown around in the carousel, things like that. So you always want to, try to put that up in the carry on. Now, I get a lot of anxiety being a hassle. And, I hate, because the guitar's big. And like, I feel weird putting my big ass guitar in the overhead while everyone's still trying to find room for their appropriately sized suitcases. But I mean, so many you've heard the American Airlines got famously sued for destroying a guitar, like,
mm-hmm.
So it's like a big deal for airlines. Like, we know you will find it, we'll make this work, because they, you know, they've had a lot of bad PR for it. So I walk
that's
in.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were actually
So I walk in with the guitar. My clothes are in the guitar case, because I don't have a carry-on. That's my carry-on. So I don't have a bag. Jenny gave me some of her, like half of her suitcase, but then I had to put my like other like socks and
that's a nice
jacket.
Little cushion too.
Yeah, you know, exactly. A little extra padding. Cushion. And I walk into the plane and I'm walking by all the overhead compartments. They're all full because I was like one of the last boarding classes. So I walk all to the end, and then the stewardess is like, you know, gives me like, I don't know what to do. Here, wait here. I'm going to figure something out. So she walks and she starts moving some suitcases around. Up top, and she finally makes enough room for the guitar, and she like waves me over, like come here. And I walk back into the middle of the plane, and she looks at me, she's like, you must feel very special. I made all this room for you, like half joking, half okay. I don't know, half jab, I don't know. So
it's odd.
And before I could answer,
actually,
this lady,
I'm slightly embarrassed. Lady.
Yeah, oh, I hate
can
that.
Can you pile
stuff.
It on?
It kills me.
Yeah.
So there's this lady sitting in the aisle, and she looks, and she goes, before I can even, she goes, clearly. He does. Like, she's mad. She is mad that I got this extra special treatment to put my guitar in. And I'm nervous. I'm like, I'll check this thing
for.
In. I don't care. And then she's like,
everybody's a victim.
And then I joked to the stewardess, like, yeah, I almost feel a little too special. And I put it up. And as I'm doing this, this lady's trying to rile up everyone around. Like, are you seeing this guy? Who's this guy? What is he doing? Oh, you're moving all of our bags so you can put your guitar in? What are you? And she's trying to get the crowd riled up.
Really?
Yeah.
Did anyone else speak up in your defense?
Nobody even turned their head.
Pussies.
Pussies. But nobody joined her either. You know, everyone just ignored. Like, okay, let's just get this flight moving. Like, I don't want there to be a delay.
How old was she?
I'd say 50, maybe. But, you know, I'm terrible at age. And so anyway, now I've had this all this anxiety over me. Like, everybody's looking. She got everybody, you know, made attention of this. And I go sit down. Anyway, smash cut to me playing the wedding. 20 seconds, and I'm done. the incident, like with me and this lady, just the confrontation took longer than me actually physically playing
right.
the strings on
yeah.
my guitar for everybody.
And, that's hard.
Yeah, I can't stop thinking
sucks.
About that. Like,
now I don't play guitar. But was there not like a house band that had a guitar around that you could
Yeah, that's
just...
another thing. You always kind of look around. It's like, okay, but I'm not traveling with a guitar. Like
yeah.
when we played in Miami, I said, Chris, you're traveling with a guitar, right? He said, yeah, it's electric. I said, that's the one I'm playing then.
Yeah. Oh, because I also would rather not travel with a guitar, but no, there wasn't a house band or anything. So I brought my guitar. I'm happy to bring it. Eastman. It's a great guitar. Love that company.
It is a great guitar. I play Eastman.
It doesn't sound like you were all that happy to bring it.
I wasn't happy to bring. I hate traveling my guitar.
It's miserable,
like when we
dude.
Do that,
it's really miserable. It's
I just
uncomfortable.
Want to make sure we're all cards on the table here.
Half of you is
like
scared
sucks.
To death that
you feel
you're
like
not going to be able to get it on the plane, and then you're worried about some lady being a fucking sea bag.
Any trouble on the way back?
No. Well, no. You know what I did is I was like one of the middle boarding groups, and I waited in the wings, and the second they called my name, I just ran in,
right?
Because I wanted to be first. I wanted to put it in there. Wipe my hands clean, like, that's not me, and
yeah.
just sit down, you know, and not have to worry about it. And that actually worked on the way back.
Nice.
But walking around with a guitar, too, it feels weird. It's like, hey, I'm drawing some weird attention to me. Like, I'm not. I legitimately play guitar. It's not, I don't want you to know I play guitar with this big case. Like, I have a gig, and I'm going to play it. That's it. It's not, and I feel like this weird thing. Like, I used to bring my guitar to high school, and, I got made fun of so much. It's just like, so I get anxiety.
I would have not been able to keep my mouth shut to this lady.
To that lady?
I probably would have ended up getting kicked off the flight.
I didn't have that kind of time.
That lady is kind of who, you know, Adam talks about always having a fuck off chambered. That's where I'd use it.
Yeah.
I did give her a little stare down, like the face, like, are you serious? Like, kind of just like confused and upset and like, really? You want to waste your time with that? All right,
my go-to thing now is if somebody is out of line in something like that, say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were a victim. I'm so sorry.
That's good.
No, you know what I do? And I do this while driving. And I should do this in person too. I just smile and give them a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah.
How mad would she be?
Point at them and thumbs up.
Whenever anybody, you know, gets upset with my driving and they're looking at me or they, you know, they do that thing where they speed up next to me to stare me down. I look at him.
Finger gun.
Yeah.
Thumbs
yeah.
up.
No finger gun. I don't know. I should do
wave.
The finger gun.
Yeah.
The
I
finger
wave
gun's too
smile.
Aggressive. Just a thumbs up.
Yep.
Or if I'm really, you know, in a good mood, I pretend I'm super Asian. So
you lean way forward or something?
Oh, yeah, well, like so that, you know, they do that move where they pull up next to you to stare you down.
Right.
And I have both hands on the wheel. I lean all the way forward. My eyes are squinty. And I look over, and I look back, and you just see like their arms like, of course he's in, and they drive away.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, I can do that too. That's another move that's fun.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
That is good.
But Fort Collins, beautiful town. We've been to Denver. I think I like Fort Collins better. I like
really?
Foco better.
Is it a college town?
Yeah, it's a total college town.
What's
it's
there?
It's really spread out. It's nice. College? Colorado University.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a
the Buffalo guys.
Go Buffs.
Is it Rams? Isn't it Rams? It's
I
Buffalo's?
I think it's Buffalo's.
Oh, it's Buffalo's? I don't know.
Pretty sure.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, there is no Colorado University. It's Saturday. The University of Colorado, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is.
Well, there may be a Colorado University.
Because every Uber driver that I had thought I was a college student. So
there you go.
Yeah, college town, big college town, really nice, spread out. Ate at Chiba Hut. That's a Kim.
Yeah,
they have it's this weed based sandwich shop. So these are the sizes, Dawson, that you order your sandwiches in.
Okay, I just don't get this, but go ahead. I like my pot.
No,
pot.
There's not weed in the food. It's just named after.
It's weed themed.
It's themed. It's not.
I had one in Tucson
edible,
in 2003.
They have like edible Rice Krispies, but that's about it. They don't put weed in their sandwiches.
You know how at Fat Sal's they have like the fat Texas barbecue or the fat Jerry or whatever. This place is just like the Snoop Dogg pastrami. Like it's just weed names.
You get the three sizes: nug, that's a small; pinner, that's a medium; blunt.
I'm sorry, but a pinner is smaller than
that's a
nug.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know what a pinner is.
I don't know what that is.
A pinner is
either.
A pinner joint.
That's like when you put a
tiny, it's like a toothpick of a fucking joint. That's a pinner.
Really?
Yeah. A nug is the size of the first joint of my thumb. That's a nug.
Well, I guess it could depend on the nug. Because they're going to be like big nugs and they're going to be like real small nugs.
Right. Yeah. But if you got a nug, if you're talking about
it should have been nug joint.
It's the size of your thumb.
Like a super dank nug.
It is nug joint blunt.
But. A joint implies
instead
that it's bigger than a pinner. If a pinner is a super,
pinner
super
is.
Thin
nug,
joint.
Nug joint blunt makes sense.
Yeah.
Nug pinner blunt does
I can just
not
imagine
make sense.
Adam Carolla, like, I'm going to see what that water cooler podcast is about. That scrolls this. Yeah. To this.
He's actually going to say this. Everybody is on brand.
I went to Chiba Hut. You know what? I saw my very first frozen body of water. I didn't realize I've never seen one until this weekend when I drove by a lake, frozen solid, and then I drove by a stream, like a creek, frozen solid. It's kind of cool, and I didn't realize I've never seen that before. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
The ducks were walking on top of the ice. The geese, all of them.
I don't know if I've ever seen that now that you bring that up.
I not only saw a frozen body of water, but I saw
jumped
a pickup
in.
Truck on the frozen body of water.
Doing donuts.
And the ice broke.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it fell
and
into the water?
And that shit's not insured.
Oh.
Did he jump insured. Out?
He was out of his truck at the time.
Oh.
He parked it on the ice.
Oh, well, that's his fault.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
That's probably one of my greatest fears is falling through ice. But I do want to go ice fishing, so I think that's a fear that I'm going to have to overcome.
We should do that. We got to get out to Michigan.
Have you been?
I've seen people ice fish. Oh. No, I've never ice fished myself.
Why do you want to do that?
Nate does it. So Nate went back to Minnesota or Montana, and he was ice fishing. It looks amazing. Like I love fishing. You know me, I'm a huge fisherman.
Just drinking. It's really just drinking.
Big on fishing.
Yeah, but see, people make these arguments to me. It's like, I can just drink like right here in this room that's temperature controlled, and I'm sitting on a chair and not on a fucking lake filled with ice.
But don't you
wait till you're married in a few years. You may develop a real taste for ice fishing.
See, again, I feel like
I think
just
that's
rather,
how it started.
I'd rather
fact.
Go like skeet shooting or something, like you know, maybe not with the drinking so much in the guts.
And also,
you get what I'm saying.
Ice fishing is not even like real fishing. You don't hold a rod; you attach it to the ice and sit there and drink.
So it's just
and
drinking
then when it
on
then
ice.
When it snaps, you go, oh, okay, I pulled one up.
Yeah. So what I thought ice fishing was growing like, and I've always thought this was: you're in a little hut, you have the floor that's removable.
It's called a shanty.
A shanty. Yeah, a shanty. Yeah, the floor that's removable.
That's what a shanty is.
You put your rods in and you just hang out in this, you know, there's maybe a fire going. You got some hot drinks, some beers, cold beers.
Yeah.
and you enjoy yourself. Well, the way Nate did it is he went on this lake. He had this big, like, I don't know, drill thing. Everyone who listens that lives there thinks I'm like so LA right now. He had this big drill thing that drills a hole.
A specialized piece of equipment.
Drills the hole, puts like a line in, and then just leaves it and then goes somewhere else. Drills a hole, does the same thing. He has holes all over this lake. And then if a fish bites, a flag pops up. And then you go there, you run over there, and you pull the fish out. That one doesn't seem as fun to me. It's all spread
actually,
out.
That seems to me like funner.
Yeah, none of this.
There's something
like
to do
like
in between.
Yeah,
yeah,
you walk in, you're drinking, you're putting in. Yeah. You never know. Then you turn around. Oh, we got one over there.
Instead of just watching one hole in one 4x4 shanty.
See, here's the other thing. Nate doesn't drink. So, like,
yeah, that's true.
He's doing it for the love of the sport.
Did he drink, though? He might have.
Back in the day, maybe, but I don't think that he does anymore. So he's doing this for the love of the sport.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's what he was raised on, and I know he was exposing his new son to it. I feel like there's a lot of people from the Midwest arguing with you right now, yelling at their car radio, saying that is a sport.
Yeah, a lot of calories burned down that sport right there.
Oh, Caleb!
It's more of a competition than a sport.
All right, I'll do that.
You're lucky you don't have a Twitter now. You can get destroyed. Tweet all your hate to Los Angeles. Oh, by the way, to all the listeners out there, we have a couple of live dates coming up. There are three, actually. So this Saturday... I mean, excuse me, this Friday, tomorrow, Ventura Theater, we're playing, me and Dawson are playing.
The Majestic Ventura Theater.
It's one hell of a venue.
Dude, you're going to love it.
I can't wait to go. I can't wait.
It's
majestic.
It's a big place. It is majestic. I'm going to say it's about an 800-seat venue.
I can't wait. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So Dawson and I are playing. We're opening up for a band called Zosa, which is a Led Zeppelin tribute band, like one of the best ones out there. So.
And anybody who doesn't know that Zoso is a Led Zeppelin tribute band just doesn't like rock and roll.
Right. I don't know. I think I have to describe it anyway. But just come hang out. Let's dance. Let's have some fun. Let's drink. A lot of Endless Rant, including the Lager, which Gary's drinking right now.
Yeah.
So let's hang out. I would love to say hi to all of you. And if you're there and bark at me, I'll buy you a beer.
And then if you bark at me, you can buy me a beer.
Yeah.
And we're also playing Saturday night, once again, returning to Di Piazza. Pizza. That pizza is so good over there.
Great pizza. Pepperoni chips.
Small stage. It's a great club show. We pack that place out. Come and hang out with all of us, and we will get shit housed. And my full band will be playing. Chris's full band will be playing. And we got comedy. And I hear there may be a surprise set from one of the lackeys around here.
There is.
Style.
Type 5.
I can't wait.
It should be interesting.
It's going to be fun. And also, February 10th, Lake Arrowhead, Tudor House.
Haunted Whorehouse.
Charles texted me. All he wrote was, I'm in for the Haunted Whorehouse. I don't know what to think of that.
This place is...
That has nothing to do with our show.
Yeah, yeah.
This place is going to be awesome. We played there before with my friends in the band, Ha Ha Halfway, and they're going to be playing as well. But we're doing... So we're going to do a live water cooler. It's a dinner theater place. So, like, you sit at a table and eat a good meal, and then you get your seat for the whole night. And we drink Endless Rants. We're going to do the live water cooler first, as you said. And then we got three bands through the rest of the night. And we're all staying up there. Recommend getting a hotel room and driving up in your camper.
What a night.
It's going to be a hell of a night.
What a night. And as I said, Valentine's Day weekend is, I guess that's the weekend before Valentine's Day weekend.
Yep.
So, Get love started early.
Let me add to this. My band is playing the night before that as well, so I'm going to be nice and hungover already.
Mm.
Got a gig at Harvell's in Santa Monica, which I've seen some killer
legendary
blues and R&B acts play there. Tough club to get into. We got in with a band called Roses and Cigarettes.
They're great.
And we got a nice smoking themed show. Yeah. Chick band and us, and we're playing 90-minute sets.
Look.
So we had to, we've been rehearsing our asses off. We got a bunch of new songs, and we're going to fucking blow your tits off.
So if you want that done to you, come out to these shows. Gary.
Yo.
You were confused when I said pepperoni chips. Now, I know you're on this NSNG kick. Kinda.
That's NSNG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa, tell me.
How is it prepared?
It's deep fried pepperonis, my friend.
That's absolutely not NSNG. What?
How is that not NSNG?
You're not allowed to fry fucking anything.
You can.
No sugar, no
not
grain.
Not deep fry.
No sugar, no grains. I don't know. But anyway.
You know I'm right.
Deep fried pepperonis. They're not breaded. They're just...
And by the way, let's be clear.
I feel like
I am not still on the hardcore NSNG the way I was. I broke.
Dude, it's been a week.
Yeah. I lasted like 13 days.
Okay. You look good, though. Like, I didn't even think you needed to do it.
You didn't
anyway.
Completely break, though. I mean,
no, I'm still doing okay.
Eggs for lunch today. So.
Yeah, tomorrow is the tasting for my wedding, and I knew that I was going to break then, so I've sort of allowed myself to cheat a little bit, and then tomorrow.
What did
like,
you eat when you cheated? Did you get some In-N-Out?
I had a cheeseburger. I had Five Guys.
Oh, okay. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
When you go tomorrow?
Yeah.
Will you take Matt so you can do Chez Fondelet on it?
No. Dude, you guys can come if you want. It's $250 a head.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that one.
Yeah.
Really? Just for the sampling?
Yep.
Oh, I thought they were free. I was like, so I always had this plan to just, you know,
so
find a girl.
So it's free for the couples, and then if you want to bring another person, like a family member or whatever, it's $250 a head.
Oh.
Crazy.
Let me finish my last sentence. I always had this dream to find a girl, tell her I have a girlfriend, and then go with Jen to these tastings. Sound awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
Nice save.
No, I'm very excited about this tasting. It should be fun. I know I'm definitely
cakes?
Not. Don't think so. But we're not going to necessarily have a wedding cake that you guys will eat.
Why? I'll eat anything. What? Challenge accepted.
I'm fine with this.
That's a good point.
I understand. Listen.
But tell me why, because you may be right. I often don't eat wedding cakes.
Well, you guys aren't going to be served wedding cake.
Oh, I
so
guess I
then that's the answer. Yeah. There we go.
So there will be a wedding cake for the purposes of like cutting it or whatever, and then I'll probably just eat the whole thing myself because I'm a fat ass and Joy is not. But the place that we're going, part of their like all inclusive like whatever includes desserts. So you guys will all have an individual dessert. So we're just going to cut the small cake for the purposes of those pictures or whatever. But we're not going to pass it out to everyone.
Yeah, that's smart.
Everyone will get their own dessert.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor,
dessert, Chris?
Sure.
Can you give Matt a piece of cake for Chez Fondelet?
Yes. All right. Matt can have a piece of the cake.
I am thinking about the show. I was thinking about content.
Great.
Matt needs to eat.
That's what my wedding needs to be.
Feed Matt.
Is Matt getting fed and doing annoying stuff?
I want to bring his notebook to your dinner. I'm excited, man. It's coming up.
I'm excited,
April.
Too. I was thinking last night about something my mom asked if she could do, and I said yes, just not even thinking about it. And then I realized Adam's going to be there, and I realized that's going to be the whole next Adam Carolla show after my wedding.
I love it.
It's going to be on... Largely, I think, on this one thing that Laura Lee.
I don't even
want to
know.
Good. I don't want to know either.
I don't want
to
know. I'm excited, though.
Let's see if we can pick it out.
Laura Lee, I know you're listening.
I'm going to pick it out during the wedding.
You guys, each one of you will run up to me in the first 20 minutes of the wedding and go, that's the thing! That's the thing!
See, now, all my ideas are spinning.
Speak of the day.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell everybody. Matt Fondelier was not here.
Wait, was it? This isn't even on, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is on.
It's a little hot.
I left
your absence wasn't even addressed, bro.
So,
like
Elijah. I feel bad. Yeah, everyone's wondering where Matt is. I did not address it. Matt was in the other studio helping Adam probably with Oscar stuff. But he just walked in. And, dude, I was still vouching for you. Like, you know, Gary was saying he's going to taste things. He's going to eat wedding cake. I said, please tell Matt. Please give Matt some food so he can review it.
Yeah, bro. I need to eat, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyone watched any of the Somebody Feeds Phil? Somebody Feed Phil?
I can't wait to watch it.
Hell yes.
I watched the first I watched 3/4 of the first episode. It's great. It's better than the last show.
I was going to say, if I was here, by the way, that in lieu of Chez Fondelet, I was just going to tell everybody within earshot to start watching Who's Feeding Phil on Netflix. Because... Yeah. That is what any good food travel host could ever aspire to be, is what Rosenthal's doing.
Nice.
I love it.
It's a play.
I was a very, very big fan of I'll Have a Phil Savings. So.
It's the exact same.
I imagine it is.
He still Skypes with his parents, which is the funniest fucking
so
5 minutes of any episode.
Okay. I'm into it. Now, Kalen.
Yo.
You saw a movie?
I did.
I want you to flick some
beans. I saw two movies. Oh. I'm going to pick...
It's the Kalen Show. Welcome.
Gary. It's Oscar season, so a lot of screeners running around, and as you know, my dad's part of the SAG, one of those things. So
are you?
We get... No, I don't... I think I am technically, but I don't get the movies.
I get SAG screeners, but they're
SAG
usually
insurance.
The shitty movies.
Oh, really?
Because
you're in SAG, too?
Yeah.
Have you acted in
I was in AFTRA forever. American Federation of Radio and Television Artists, but then they merged. But go ahead.
I was really disappointed, too, because I walked in, you know, my stepmom was like, oh, we got all the screeners. And so I saw a huge stack of screeners sitting at my house, and I was like, oh, awesome. And I looked through it, and most of it is just Netflix shows.
Like
The Crown, great, thanks, Glow. Right, there's just tons of those CDs, and I looked around, and there weren't a lot of any of the good movies I wanted to see. So that was a kind of a bummer. But I do
have a question about screeners. How long are they going to keep sending DVDs? That seems like an outdated technology.
It's already a mix. They send out codes for a lot of them now.
Oh, but you can't share the codes. It's probably like a one-time view.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Yeah, I've gotten some codes.
That's lame.
And yeah, I think it's a two-time view.
Share them.
I did happen to see...
Definitely don't share them. It's federal
very
crime.
Why are you winking at me, Gary?
Hey, how dare you?
So the one that I did get yesterday that I wanted to review and wanted to see really badly, had very high hopes for, is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Okay.
This is written and directed by Martin McDonagh.
Who's that?
Not a lot of credits in his repertoire, but the one movie that he did also write and direct, which I love, is In Bruges. That's a movie with Colin Farrell and Ralph Fiennes. That is a very funny movie. I recommend you all go see it if you have a chance. Three Billboards stars Frances McDormand.
Yes.
She was in Fargo. She was in Burn After Reading.
Fantastic.
Great.
Burn After Reading, totally underrated movie.
Oh, great.
I don't think I understood that movie.
It's probably my least favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it.
I put it right after Fargo.
Brad Pitt was amazing in it, but otherwise, no thank you.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah. Go ahead.
It also stars Sam Rockwell, who's always great. He was in a great movie called Moon, if you haven't seen that one. That's
love Sam Rockwell.
And Galaxy Quest. I mean, come on. Gotta love
it. He won the Golden Globe for this, right?
Yep, he did. Oh, I'm going to get to that. Thank you.
Oh, excuse me.
Spoiler alert.
I don't know. Yeah. Sorry.
It also stars
2 weeks ago.
Woody Harrelson, Peter Dinklage, and Clark Peters, who you might know from The Wire, Detective Lester Freemore.
Freeman.
What a cast. Freeman. Yeah. That's a great cast.
I ran out of space there on my notes.
just guessing at names.
Actually,
I went with Kalen.
Kalen, it took more space to write Freemore.
ran out of space.
Kalen just gets the M. He's like, oh,
an R and an N can be confused.
Kalen ran out of space. He's holding a 30-page notebook.
It's a very small notebook. The movie is 115 minutes, so it's just shy of 2 hours. So this movie is about Frances McDormand's character buys three billboards just outside of town in an attempt to shame the police into finding the person who raped.
If you're going to shit all over this movie, I'm going to correct you the whole time.
All right, go ahead. To shame the police into finding the person who raped and murdered her teenage daughter.
Oh, it's a serious movie.
Yep, this is going to be an Oscar favorite, best actress. Frances McDormand won at the Golden Globes, along with Sam Rockwell. And I thought this was a Coen Brothers movie. I went into it. I didn't even really do research going into it. And I thought this was like their movie.
Based off the trailer or even while watching
it? And the cast.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is very much. And the whole movie does have a Coen Brothers like, feel. Except from the music. You know, there's a lot of like kind of. I like the music in Coen Brothers. It gives it an extra feel that this movie didn't really have.
Does Sam win for best actor or best supporting? I can't remember.
He's best supporting.
Okay.
Yeah. And Gary Oldman won for best actor.
Correct. That's right.
And this movie is it has some good laughs in it throughout. And I kind of went into this movie thinking that it was like more of a comedy, even though it's kind of about like this dark, you know, tale or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I did go into it thinking it was funny, and there were some good laughs in it. But ultimately, the great acting. It is very great acting, and good laughs did not save this movie.
There's your Rotten Tomatoes quote.
Everyone, you know, like I said, even Gary is saying, oh, this is such a good movie. I had such high hopes going into it, and I really don't understand why everyone is saying this is like such a good movie. I just don't see it. It's very depressing, it's very frustrating, and so teeny tiny spoiler, but not really, Matt, plug your ears if you want to. Yeah, plug your ears if you don't hear. For instance, the police in this movie are completely useless. They're just absolutely...
That's a lot of movies, though.
No, I mean, this one, there are multiple, like, gruesome assaults and multiple arsons that happen. And it never goes anywhere. Like, they don't do any jobs whatsoever. So that's
like
just,
any
that
action
just,
movie.
That was just part of what was very frustrating. All right, Matt, I think you're good now. Your thumbs up. Yeah, there.
So thanks. You can...
Matt was literally pumping his ears as he is wont to do.
No problem. Okay. It's easy.
I admire that. I like how much Matt enjoys movies. Will someone tell that guy to be quiet? Who's out there?
Gabe.
I thought it was Adam.
I did too.
Yeah, I did write down some more things that I think were a little spoilery, so I don't want to go into them specifically,
okay.
But it just ties into the notion that I said that this movie is very depressing and it's very frustrating.
But isn't that, it's kind of like, I was thinking of like King Joffrey. in Game of Thrones. You hate him so much, but doesn't that mean he did a great job, like, because of the vitriol he put inside of you? So if this movie is depressing and you're depressed, doesn't that mean it got its job done and it did what it wanted to do?
If there was a payoff, maybe.
So Kanch wants a payoff. You're that guy who watches in the focus screen to see, like, Kalen, I wish they got together.
Hey, I am not Kalen a harsh just, critic by any
I know,
means.
You're not.
I'm a very lenient critic, all right? I'll normally give things, like, the benefit of the doubt.
And most things are flickable, be honest.
Yeah, this movie was going in, like, I thought it was going to, or might win Best Picture. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the movie. And I had such high hopes for it. And the characters... There's, like, not any character arcs in this movie. It's not an arc. It's just, like, all one thing most of the time, and then it just flips like that, like a light switch. There's no arc. It's just, like, a light switch, and barely one, if that. I was disappointed, ultimately, in this movie. I thought it was going to be better. So it is unflickable at 6.5 out of 10 beans.
Wow.
All right.
No, I'll tell you what. Fucking clap for that.
That review makes me happy. Wait,
sitting there drinking fucking giant jug of Haterade. That is a good movie. What the – there's no character.
That's pretty good.
There's no character arc. Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm
You're saying there's
serious.
No character arc there was in no, Francis
I said
McDormand?
I said it's like a light switch. There's no arc. It's just one and then all of a sudden in like 5 minutes. Oh, I'm just going to flip-flop.
All right, well, I'm going to go in with my shit-colored glasses, and then I'm going to come out and say, this was a good movie.
Yeah, if you go into this movie, like, thinking that it's not going to be the best picture and the best movie of the year, then you might actually enjoy it a little more.
That's,
but when
that
I
makes
such
me
high
so happy.
For movies like this, and then I see it, I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed by it.
So part of the reason why I hated Baby Driver.
Because it was oversold.
Because everyone said it was the greatest fucking
movie.
That's
what movie studios should do. They should just find critics, pay them off, like, hey, just undersell it. Even if you loved it, undersell it. So when people go in, they think you were wrong. And they end up loving this movie. No, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. That's why I'm not a movie studio head exec right now.
But I think even if I went into this movie thinking that it was, like, people said, like, it wasn't very good, I'd come out saying, like, yeah, they're probably right.
Who would I agree with? Gary, what movie have you seen the most?
Fast and Furious?
Of all time.
Oh.
That you watch again and again, that you've seen, and you just know it, like, the back of your hand.
Con Air. Fast and Furious.
I know Con Air pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm probably
by choice, not by because it was work.
I'd probably to the answer to that question. That's difficult because I don't know and it's hard to quantify. I'm probably gonna have to put it at Air Force One because I saw I think I saw it 7 times in theaters.
Oh my
god!
Nice.
That's a good question for everybody. I want to know what all you guys answer to that.
Yeah,
I saw Shaun of the Dead 7 times in theaters.
All right. Well, not to be a one upper, but I saw it 7 consecutive days.
Is
that Air Force One for a week straight in theaters?
Wow. That's right.
I've never seen that movie.
I was on vacation with my parents at Alisal.
What kind of vacation are you going to the movie?
No, listen. So we were at Alisal, which is that like place up north that I go with my family every year. And there's really nothing to do if you're a teenager because you can't drink. And all the activities are for younger kids. So the one outing a night for kids that are in that age range is they'll take all the teenagers to the theater. And then you can see, like, there's 3 movies that start all around the same time. You pick which one you want. And the other two were, like, romantic comedies. And I was 13 or something. So I just saw Air Force One every single day for 7 days. Fucking awesome.
What movie have you seen the most? I got to hear Caleb next. I got to compare who.
Okay.
But Air Force One, Gary Oldman. That's when I started loving him.
Yep.
And William H. Macy.
Oh, yeah.
Love him too.
I got to see this movie.
It's fun, man.
Okay. Oh, you would
classic.
Do yourself
classic.
A favor.
All right,
a flavor. I'm going to do myself
a flavor.
Do yourself
a
flavor.
Still trying to make that work.
Get a few C minuses.
Trying to make it work.
Get a few C minuses. Realize that it was in the mid '90s.
All right,
and just accept that going in.
All right, I'm in.
And everybody else, do yourself a flavor and watch it. Send a screenshot. Tweet us a screenshot. I want to see you guys watching Air Force One.
It's the best.
Let's get the resurgence. All right, Kalen, what movie have you seen the most?
It's probably tied between The Godfather 1 and 2 and Kill Bill.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Not looking
Those
good, Gary.
I think I've seen the most times.
Be more specific. Godfather 1 and 2 and Kill Bill 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a four-way tie.
They're both like... Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to be clear.
Anytime it's on TV.
You got the bulk
even
DVD
if
at
it's
Walmart.
Censored, yeah.
All right. Matt, what? Mine is... Mighty Ducks Part 2, D2.
Oh, that's a good one.
I had on VHS. I watched it every day after school. Every day. Did not miss a day for years.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I know that
I guess
movie
if you're counting childhood, then like Dumb and Dumber or Beverly
great.
Hills Ninja. Are
still
like
great.
That I've,
I love that.
Because I've watched movies a lot more often back to back when I was a kid.
I have one film that's carried me from being 3 years old to this very day. And even though there's tons of movies that I've seen more times than I would care to admit, I can only think of one movie that I watched like that since I was like 4 years old, and that film is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah, and you have the Ghostbuster shirt that's shaped like Jurassic Park.
You know, I was actually looking. We got them up to four. He said something the other day, and it sparked my imagination. I tried to find a Jurassic Park Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt. Doesn't exist.
But what does exist? You got him. You got him another one for Christmas.
That one was a Toy Story.
Yeah,
it was for Hanukkah.
Oh, for Hanukkah. Oh, excuse me, Matt.
Mm-hmm. It was the Toy Story. It has the picture of the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
Yeah, so Matt, let's be clear. These T-shirts are a play on Jurassic Park, not on Ghostbusters. There just happens to be a Ghostbusters one.
So that's what I think started the trend.
Yeah. So Matt has that. He has the Game of Thrones. He has Ghostbusters, and he has the actual Jurassic Park shirt.
Yeah, and I have a Toy Story one as well.
Yeah. So you have 4 days. So we almost have a full business week.
Which, by the way,
Happy Hanukkah. By the way.
Obviously, we're Adam, you know, talking about dressing with success. We covered that on this show last week. So I've been wearing out my button-up shirts lately. And I love my wife because I told her about dressing for success. And she looked at me and she's like, when are you going to wear all those Jurassic Park t-shirts? I don't know. I'll have to find a way.
Nice.
Taking so much space in the closet.
Life finds a way.
What's yours? What's your movie?
God, again, like everybody, it's tough to think of, but I went through a period where I watched There Will Be Blood.
Oh my God.
Once
that
a week.
A
that's heavy.
Once a week for about 3 years. So I think it's There Will Be Blood. I fucking love that movie. There's no goddamn dialogue for the first half hour.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Great. It's so good.
Once a week.
I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I stumbled upon on cable last night? And
I think I've seen Alpha Dog a number of times,
really?
Too. Because I lived in Santa Barbara at the time this whole all this shit went down. So I was totally interested in it.
What's that kid's name? The Russian guy who got pinned by the...
Didn't Alpha Dog go down in Calabasas?
Yeah, it went down in Woodland Hills.
They buried him in Lizard's Mouth.
Oh, okay.
Hiking trail. That's where they found his
body.
That's
where the end of it was.
That's where they partied in Santa Barbara.
Right.
They didn't go to Fiesta in Palm Springs.
The dude's house.
They went to Fiesta in Santa Barbara.
Last night I stumbled upon A Few Good Men on cable and just gleefully watched the rest of it. Tom Cruise's eyebrows are a little out of control in that movie. I was very distracted. Yeah, I was doing a very Adam watch of that movie. About halfway through it, I sent Adam a commercial that I had seen, and she said, this is for your list of what black people think white people are talking about.
The coffee table book.
Two nights ago, I stumbled upon The Wash, which I don't know if you've
watched the car wash movie. Snoop
Dogg and Dr. Dre.
It's a great movie. Film. That is an excellent movie.
Yeah, I had to watch that
one. Yeah, listeners, I want to know yours too. What movie have you seen the most? And like, give me an approximate number of times. Because we had that guy, Alex Nevsky, on Adam's show. He's like, I've seen Cobra. I know it really well. He even copied a shot of it for his movie. Adam asked, how many times you've seen it? He's like 20 times. And in my head, I'm thinking, that's it?
That's not a lot.
You really love that
I've
movie?
I've seen There Will Be Blood at least 100 times. At least 100 times.
All right. Well, guys, this has been fun. How's that lager? How's it going down nice and smooth?
Delightful.
I like the can.
Taking some of that with me. I got band practice tonight.
It's good. The only... I wish it was a little colder, which is no one's fault. It just arrived here sort of shortly before we podcasted.
We have no patience, and we're thirsty.
But it's tasty, though.
It's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Endless Rant Lager. It's available. Look for it.
Coraldrinks.com.
Or just come have it at me and Mike, our live shows that we have coming up.
There you go.
We'll be serving it this weekend.
All right. Let's get some plugs in. Oh, and also, first off, big ups to Landon who fried our turkey the other week. He came back and he polished my...
Say exactly what you were going to say. Exactly.
So
you polish your wood? Whatever.
I think he was going to say log.
He
was going to say log.
Okay. So, Jen.
Yeah.
There's this guy named Donovan. Named Landon.
Years ago, a listener sent us these logs they carved with chainsaws, and he carved our last names into them. Dawson got one. I got one. Adam got one. Allison got one. And it was just Dawson or Corolla. And he used a chainsaw to carve them.
While he was listening to the show.
While I was listening to the show. It was like a thank you or whatever. And I guess that mine, but mine was not finished. He finished everybody else's. But mine was just unfinished. It was just like raw log. And and I thought, okay, that makes sense because my name is probably the hardest to cut. So that same amount of effort. That's fine.
Raw log.
I have a lot of letters in my name. Very long. So So I got, and then it's just been sitting in my office, and it's like collecting dust, and I've been meaning to lacquer it up or whatever, and but I just never got to, because I just never got to it, unfortunately. And
you
then,
only have two more letters in your name than Dawson.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You got eight.
Still pretty long.
Okay.
And then
you have a lot of syllables.
Yeah. Anyway, so Landon, I'm giving him the tour of the studio, and he sees the log, and he says, I'll lacquer that up and polish it up for you. And he took it home after the day he fried the turkey, came back today, polished it up. So thank you, Landon.
That was good. It did a great job.
Yeah. So appreciate that, and just want to give you a shout-out. All right. So, Kalen, where can we go for you? You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Don't worry about me.
Oh, all right. Gary, what about you?
New podcast available now. This goes up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Two new podcasts available now. One is our good friend from the Adam Carolla Show, Chet Waterhouse, now has his own show.
Yeah.
One of my favorite dudes.
Me too. And it's not Jeff Cesario. It's Chet Waterhouse. It is a Chet Waterhouse podcast. We've only done one, and it's now available. You can get it. Go subscribe on iTunes or go to Podcast One. If you like Chet and you have even a passing interest in sports, I absolutely suggest you try it out. It's special. It's kind of its own thing. I've never really seen something like it. So go check that out. And then also Riggle's Picks, available as of today. Sarah Tiana and Rob Riggle talking sports, talking pop culture. We pre-taped them a little bit because Rob's on the road doing press for his new movie 12 Hours. So the first episode's talking a lot about the Rose Bowl game, which mm-hmm. Sarah went to because we recorded it on the second. But go check that out and subscribe. And there's a lot of fun stuff coming to both those shows.
Yeah, and Rob Riggle... you know, you see him in movies, he's hilarious, but his improv skills and everything is just are very defined. Yeah. He came up with like...
He's classically trained from UCB.
Yeah, he came up with like Aziz Ansari. Right, no.
A little before that even, I think. I think he came up with the guys who started UCB back when they were in New York. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Matt Walsh, didn't he?
I don't know, but he's very well respected and crazy backstory. And
Gil Thorpe from Modern Family, for those of you who can't picture who that is and watch that show.
He's also in the new Dos Equis commercial.
Yeah, he's the most interesting man in the world now.
That helps, too.
Well, he's like the guy behind the most interesting man in the world.
Isn't he the most interesting football fan in the world?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Have you seen the most interesting man in like that other... He's in like those
tequila commercials,
Oh, my God, man. Get a new trick, Pony.
They did the same thing
the new most
interesting man is now in a tequila commercial,
he
says, I told you I don't always drink beer. I also drink this tequila.
They took a page from Verizon.
But that guy
looks so much like Jared from Subway. I'm not on board.
Yeah, why are they transferring spokespersons to other things? I don't like it. Those characters, they should have been trademarked or something, right? I don't know. Yeah. Matt, where can we go for you?
You follow me on Twitter at Matt Fondelier. Please tell a friend about this very podcast. We need more listeners to the Water Cooler. And go see us in Lake Arrowhead on the 9th, if that hasn't been mentioned. And as previously
Definitely
mentioned.
Don't do that. On the 10th, though.
As of the 10th? Yeah. Whatever date. Listen, just come hang out with us. And if you got Netflix, which you should, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a flavor.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Watch Who's Feeding Phil, because it's awesome.
Nice.
Somebody feed Phil.
I will.
Somebody feed Phil. You're going to see, you'll see that punim. You'll see the grin, the Rosenthal
Can't
grin. You'll
it.
Know you got the right show.
All right. Dawson, I can go for you.
I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to say it again because it's a big, important show. Friday, February 9th in Santa Monica, California. You beach city bastards. We're playing at Harvell's. Big 90-minute rock set. We're not on till 11 p.m. That's going to be a long, long night.
Harvell's is a great venue.
Yeah, tickets at Harvell's website. Friday, February 9th, if you live anywhere around the beach, please come to the show.
Roses and Cigarettes.
Roses and Cigarettes.
What's
is,
the girl's name?
Angela Petrilli.
She shreds,
Jen
man.
Pagliaro.
Yeah, and she has pipes. Like
she shreds.
Great talent.
They're incredibly
fun.
Talented.
Yeah, so you're in a night of a lot of good music. By going to Harvell's February 9th.
Thank you.
All right. And as for me, come out to the live show. Say hi. Love to see you in person. And till then, we'll catch you next time. We love you guys and have a good weekend.